Here we go, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Wombox podcast. This is episode 194, converging on DC Comics Convergence number 0-2. I am Chris Mosby.
And I am Caleb Gerard.
Yes, and Murray Fox is not with us this week. He had a secret mission in deep space to Chicago, the bastich.
The planet of Chicago.
Yes, and he is visiting C2E2, I believe. Hopefully we'll hear some good stuff. I really haven't seen much news out of there except for Dark Knight 3, if you read the stuff about that, Frank Miller's coming back to do another sequel to the last Dark Knight thing, and written with Brian Azzarello, which to me sounds like it's a thing to help get him some medical bill help, because last time I saw him, he didn't look too good. I think he's pretty sick, but I could be wrong.
Why would he need money? He's got Sin City money coming in.
I don't know. Well, I haven't watched that second one, but it barely was at the theaters long enough to watch. I have it. I just haven't watched it.
He probably still made a couple dollars off.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still making pretty good money. I don't know. It's the fact that it's not just him writing it makes me think they're trying to do him a solid. But that's just me. So,
bully for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll still get it. Whether I like it or not is another story. And speaking of, let's talk about Convergence. And for those that don't know, we have the Wikipedia entry here. So let's go over this. If you're new to comics, you might have any idea. This is what it is. Convergence is a 2-month weekly limited series published by DC Comics that begins in April 2015. Hey, that's this month. And is scheduled to run through the end of May 2015. Convergence spins out of the final issues of the weekly series Earth 2 Worlds End and New 52 Futures End. Barely. But, you know, that's what it's been.
The story. It more spins out of that that Superman story.
Yeah, that's what's the one that nobody read, I think. We'll talk about that in a minute. The story involves Brainiac collecting cities and inhabitants from various timelines that have ended, trapping them in domes on a planet outside of time and space, and opening them up to see what happens. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. We've just thrown crap on the wall and see what sticks. Notable during this event will be the return of DC characters from before the 2011 Flashpoint storyline that led to the creation of the New 52 universe. And it also doesn't cover that they have announced that after this is over, they won't be using the New 52 brand anymore. A lot of us were happy about that, and we talked about that in one of our episodes, if you haven't heard it. So we are in week 2 now, I think, aren't we?
Week 3, actually.
3? Okay. Man, am I that behind?
Yeah, number 3 came out, and there's a whole mess of books associated with that. So
I'm pretty sure I bought them all just to, I don't remember. It's been crazy busy at work. So, I've read, I think, the first week, but that's it. So,
all
right. Here we go.
So you haven't. I want to preface this with two things. One, they're spoilers,
yes.
So that doesn't mean a ton. There's a couple things that happen in number 3. We won't talk about number 3, but
no.
The main series, and for the most part, the tie-in books have been less than impressive. I don't want to go in like totally. Hey. Negative Nelly on this, however, it's hard to justify.
Well, and we kind of, one thing we didn't mention, and in case you haven't heard, is, you know, DC Comics is moving from one coast to the other. They're moving from New York to California to be in the same offices as Warner Brothers, and this is kind of a cover, so they can take the time to do that, and they came up with this event, and I think one of the main writers is Jeff King, which what he's done escapes me. I think he's written, here we go, Canadian screenwriter, television producer, and film director. He was co-executive producer, co-executive and executive producer for the Canadian television series Due South.
Which I have no idea what that is.
Anyway, worked as a producer of CBS show Easy Streets, co-executive producer of Stargate SG-1. Other television credits include Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Models Inc., Relic Hunter, Strange Days at Blake Hosley High, Mutant X, Dino Sapien, and White Collar. So basically, they do what they have been doing for a while. Let's get somebody from another genre to write comics. Because, you know, writing's writing, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, just so you know, Due South was the show where the Mountie comes down and works in, I don't know, I want to say New York.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I never did watch it, but yeah.
Okay. It was a cute show. Anyhow, but this series has been... Yeah, you know, okay, so...
Well, and I mean... I think the main reason I'm disappointed is because the fact that they're actually admitting that there's other universes exist and stuff, that maybe we can see some of that, you know, whatever, but it's so far, I don't know, it's just maybe it'll get better through Convergence, but I don't know, we'll see.
Yes, we will.
Let's see, we'll take turns.
Well, okay, so number zero was...
We're not going into too much detail, because, anyway, go ahead.
So number zero, which was sort of supposed to be the introduction, hey, check it out, was the spin-out from, what was the Superman storyline?
It was called Doomed, I'm thinking.
Doomed, yes, that was the one where he was infected with the Doomsday virus, and at some point he got... Superman, but
yes.
got transported somewhere in mid storyline, and this was his tour of that area, which is going to turn out to be the Telos planet that is the Convergence setting for the rest of the series. And he just tours around. He's you know, going, getting knocked down, getting beat up, and ultimately, and this is the new 52 Superman, the one with the armor, the one that's going to be in the movie and all that.
This is correct, sir.
If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I think that's about it for number zero.
Really, yeah. And the premise, according to Wikipedia, for that story was Doomsday emerged from the Phantom Zone. He wreaks havoc across the world. That's what it says. Superman kills the beast, but is infected with a virus present in its blood. This causes Superman to mutate into a Doomsday-like creature. And this takes place right after that's over, apparently. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And Superman pretty much learns everything we talked about. He's tortured for some unknown amount of time, you know, and we see other versions of Superman from other multiverses getting killed in various ways. Kingdom Come Superman with Gog and so on and so forth, and he busts free. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And he ends up on Telos' world. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So then that led sort of into number one, which brought us the survivors, or not the survivors, but some of the Earth 2 characters that Jeff King latched onto when he was writing Earth 2, and also where he was co-writing Earth 2 as well as Earth 2 World's End, which were part of the Future's End weekly series tie-ins. And we have the Thomas Wayne Batman, we have Alan Scott Green Lantern, we have Dick Grayson, we have Montoya, what is her name?
It was the same name as the second wall cat that took over in the Crisis, and I can't remember what the hell her name is.
Hey, it's exciting. Anyhow, she
like
was
Victoria formerly, or something like that, or I don't know.
And on Earth 2, she was formerly the avatar of the Red, sort of their animal
That's
man,
right.
But
yes.
She no longer is. And then we also have the Jay Garrick Flash. So those are our point of view characters for Convergence 1, and it's very, very dialogue-heavy. Not dialogue-heavy, it's text-box-heavy, and it's from Dick Grayson's point of view for the most part. Oh, and I forgot, I'm sorry, and it has their Superman. Von, what the hell is his name? Anyhow, he's black.
Val.
Yeah. Anyhow, so it's got a cool cover, and we got to say this about the book that the covers have been pretty darn good.
Yeah, they have been.
And again, we get some flashing on various versions of the DC universe where things are crap and things get blowed up real good. And
See, we start off with in number one, the Injustice universe.
Yes, sort of.
Sort of,
kind of. It's not the one that I've been enjoying and reading.
Okay, I haven't been reading that, so I wouldn't know.
But no, it's been pretty darn awesome. It's been one of the better Justice League books out there.
Well, I might have to get some copies of that for the nephew because he plays that game and loves it.
It's dark. Oh, it's incredibly dark. Lots of killing.
Well, that might not be a big deal since he's playing the game. So.
Okay. We get caught up on what happened at the end of Earth 2 World's End, where Apocalypse destroyed that planet, and there were some refugees that got away, and somehow these six characters that we just enumerated got transported to the Telos world.
Yolanda, that was her
Yolanda.
Name.
Yolanda, there you go. Hey, good man.
Yeah, I was just flipping through pages here.
They get attacked by the Telos planet. Telos goes, hey, you don't have a city. What the hell are you doing here? You guys are useless. And then he tries to kill them some more and a lot more.
Yolanda gets some freaky claws that can tear up the bad guys.
Yep, she's the X-23 of this universe.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And he kind of fills them in on what he's going to do, which is to pit all the cities against each other, but we still don't really get a good motivation for why that is. We do find out that he is connected to Brainiac, the Uber Brainiac that we had at the end of Future's End, as opposed to the mustache twirling Brainiac that we usually get.
Yes.
And then he does his little announcement that is repeated in all of the
week ones. Yeah.
Yeah, the month ones, and we get a couple cool spread page or a couple two page spreads where we see a lot of the heroes that we have grown to love over the last few decades, which is really cool. I mean, various versions, ones that you know we know, ones that we vaguely know. I'm trying to think, I know all these.
You went down towards the back last pages.
Yeah, the one with like Captain Carrot over there. And,
oh yeah, yeah.
We have the Flashpoint universe there, and in various ones. I mean, it's cool stuff.
Yeah, I think we went over that before. So
we did.
There's pre-Crisis Legion and Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters and all kinds of stuff like that.
And then we get a splash page of various versions of Superman and. I read this one again, and I'm still not finding the motivation why he is pitting the various.
Well, he's waited so long to hear from Brainiac, he's cracked a little bit.
Oh, he's bored.
Lovely. And he thinks that's what Brainiac wants. That he put them there for him to choose which one is worthy to survive. Which that's what Brainiac does. That's what he was doing, so he's just going to do it for him. I think that's what the thing. I don't know. If I remember correctly, I think that's what he decided. I mean, I believe that's what Brainiac was doing, was bringing him there, so that he was going to decide later who gets to survive, I guess. So he's like, oh, well, we'll just have them fight like you do.
This is quite
the homage to... the Secret Wars of, what was that, the 80s, late 70s, early 80s?
Yes, him.
So, yeah.
So spinning out of number one, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Hey, we got 10 titles, which, as you noted earlier, are all focused on the pre-Flashpoint versions of various characters. And
yeah.
if you want to enumerate them, go for it.
All right, I'll go for it. Let's see. Now, I hadn't noticed this until we looked at the Wikipedia article, but apparently the week one titles have to do with pre-Flashpoint characters. So we have The Atom, written by Tom Payer, excuse me, and artist Steve Yeowell, I guess. Mm-hmm. Batgirl by Alisa Kowitny. Never heard of her. Rick Leonardi and Mark Pennington. That one, I kind of like that one. You got Batman and Robin by Ron Mars. Art by Dennis Cowan and Klaus Janson. That was okay. Harley Quinn by Steve Pugh. Art by Phil Winslet and John Dell. That was okay. Justice League, Frank Thierry and Vicente Cifuentes on art. Not too bad. You got Nightwing, Oracle. Oh, you know, we forgot something big, but when I get done, I'll talk about that.
Sure.
Let's see, Nightwing / Oracle, Gail Simone. And this is the Nightwing that I'm favored with Oracle in a wheelchair still. Of course, Oracle in a wheelchair. Anyway, Gail Simone, Jan Duursima, and Dan Parsons, which that was okay. I was expecting a little bit more out of it, but hey, you know, whatever. And good to see Greg Rucka working again with the Renee Montoya version of The Question in The Question with Cully Hamner on the art. That's probably one of the ones I enjoyed the most. Speed Force, number one. Tony Bedard with Tom Grummett and Sean Parsons on art. That's Wally West flashback, boys and girls.
With his kid.
With his kids. Superman, number one, with Dan Jurgens, Lee Weeks and Dan Jurgens. And this is the one that's married to Lois and got a baby on the way, so that was interesting. Titans, number one, Fabian Nicicia, Ron Wagner, and Jose Marzan. And that had Cry for Justice, Roy Harper with his bad arm in it.
Yeah, so the ones I liked out of that week were... which ones did I like? Apologies. So, Batgirl, I liked that one.
That was good. I liked it.
That was more focused on Stephanie Brown,
mm-hmm.
which, again, not a character I was ever really familiar with, but I really enjoyed that. The Justice League, mm-hmm. which had the Cry for Justice, yes. Roy Harper issue, yes. with James Robinson in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't really in it. It was mostly about the female characters that James Robinson brought in there, and then the Superman issue, which came as a surprise to me, because I'm not normally a Superman fan, but this was a fun issue. It was just straight out fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
And then we find out that Lois is preggers, and
yeah.
She got pregnant because he was powerless under the dome. That was the one thing.
That was the thing we didn't mention. Yeah, they've all been under the dome for a year, and anybody with powers didn't have them anymore.
Right.
Which was an interesting twist. That was interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, the one thing that they didn't, that wasn't consistent, is they kept saying that that stuff that was not innate powers, things that were tied to like electronics or to attachments and things like that, should still work.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't, they weren't necessarily consistent about that from story to story. There was one story where Cyborg was powered, another one where it affected him. There was, and from that point of view, the Atom should not have been affected because his powers are totally external, and so on. I mean, just a couple of little
things. I guess it depends on which one you're thinking of. Well, I know that the Ryan Choi version, which he made an appearance, he's not dead anymore. His was the bio belt, right?
Well, this was the Ray Palmer one, which was totally the White Dwarf star belt, which should not have been affected. But I thought
he ended up getting that power after using it for so long. Am I thinking of Ant-Man and the Pym particles?
I think you're thinking of Hank Pym with the Pym particles, but I could be wrong. I mean, they all shrink.
Yeah, it's true.
It was decent stuff. I mean, there were some real clunkers in there. I thought the Titans issue was crap.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. It really was.
The Batman and Robin one was, I love the art on it, but the, because Dennis Cowan cannot do wrong by me, but that Ron Marz writing just did not do it for me.
Yeah, he's usually a better writer than that. I mean, it was good. I liked it, but I don't know. It wasn't. It could have been better.
And the Atom almost made the cut for me, almost, because it was just wonky enough with him being able to kind of grow his one hand, and that was it. But
Yeah.
I
Like the
don't know.
twist, though. I like the twist in it.
Yeah, let's
We'll
see where they're
save
going to take
we'll save
it.
that. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
we'll
would
see
be
where they're going to
interesting.
take it. Yeah. In any case, that's of all the ones that I didn't necessarily latch onto, that's the one I'm looking forward to reading number two of more than the other ones. So obviously, I want to see Batgirl 2 and Justice League 2 and Superman 2, but the Atom, while I wasn't like a fan, I do kind of want to see what happens with number two.
Yep, I do too.
The rest of them, leave or take them. If they never put out a number two, I would never know.
So, okay, so this week, or was it this last week? See, I'm totally.
You're on week. Well, we're looking at week two. We're actually week three. Just came out a couple days ago. So.
Oh, okay, so I might not have bought those yet, because I don't see them on here. Oh, I maybe bought them, but I haven't downloaded them yet onto
Oh,
my.
Chris.
I know. It's just been busy. Oh, yeah, I bought them. They're just not downloaded. That's why I don't see them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they're all here. In fact, I picked up a couple of issues of a couple of trades in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because it was on sale. Let's see. So, week two, we have Aquaman.
Well, let's hold on. What was the issue? We got some more flashback
Oh,
to
that's
the
right.
destruction of Earth 2 by Apocalypse, and they changed it up a little bit, but that's okay. So we see them all escaping. We see Dick Grayson trying to get his kid off the planet, handing his kid off to Big
Yeah,
Barda, who.
I'm tired of writers making Dick Grayson a whiny little bitch. I really am. I'm sorry. I mean, it's ridiculous. I know it's his
Well.
son and everything, but it's like it's like I don't know. It's Okay,
So
go ahead.
they try and escape, and then they show how those six characters got the metal Morpheus, not Morpheus, Neo stuff put on all over them from Matrix, and poured it over to the to Telos's world. He gives them a little more exposition, and we see some fighting, some Futures End versions of the characters doing their gross fighting thing. That there, there's a, those are still twisted. And then Green Lantern and Superman break out of their metal cocoons, and we see that Telos does have some limitations because he goes ugh when Superman punches him. But he's still controlling the planet. He's making big hands out of dirt, and we see that Alan Scott, who is the avatar of the green, cannot tap into the Telos planet without it going all wrong.
Yeah, that was nasty.
And he traps them once again. And they fight some. And then in tradition, superhero tradition, they split up, and Thomas Wayne and Dick Grayson go on
Oh, by
walkabout.
the way, having Batman and Dick Grayson argue, that's another thing I'm sick of. Anyway, go ahead.
I agree. So
Well, it's
they.
like they're subliminally trying to keep you from thinking that, oh, they're two gay men, or I could be wrong there, but that seems like what the whole reason why they went back and changed their relationship where they were fighting all the time. I don't know. I could
Because
be wrong.
married couples never fight.
Well, I guess you could put it that way, but whatever.
and Thomas Wayne supposes, anyway, he figures out that they can walk into the city because the robots are trying to keep people in rather than stopping people from going in. And he, Thomas Wayne, thinking like all the other Batmans would think, he goes into the sewers and finds a secret entrance into that version of the Bat Cave.
That was
And
my favorite part of this whole thing so far.
And Dick Grayson kicks back, and Alfred walks in, totally nonplussed by the whole thing. Like, whatever, there's another Dick Grayson here who's older than the Dick Grayson that I know. And they talk, and he sees his dead wife, Dick Grayson does, because his wife got killed back on Earth 2. But he sees this version of Barbara Gordon, and he's like, oh, my dead wife. So you're right, he is a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
Very much a whiny bitch. And then we have the meeting between Thomas Wayne and this world's Bruce Wayne, and they both look grim and gritty with their cowls off, and looks like they're going to have some angry sex there. And then we go to the other heroes, and they are running off fighting a Superman red and a Superman blue.
Yeah. Pardon me.
No, it's good. It's good. And
allergies are kicking my butt.
We'll make this quick. The Batman of this world says, hey, I can't help you, but I'll give you some equipment. So he hands him off some stuff, and Thomas Wayne and Dick Grayson leave, and then we get back to the colorful heroes outside. It's very colorful. That's one thing I did like, is the contrast between the darker Batman story and the lighter Justice Society story, because these are essentially the Justice Society characters here.
Yes, they are.
And they fight some more robots, and then they rescue Deimos from Skitaris.
Yeah, I had no idea who that was until I could. I was like, oh, that name sounds familiar. Who is that? And then the next issue, we figure that out for sure.
Well, because he doesn't look as menacing in this panel as he normally does, drawn by Grell or any of the people.
Yeah, and he's usually half naked though, isn't he? Seemed like it to me.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I just knew him from the skulls on his knees and the and the name.
Well, I'm thinking that. Never understood. I don't know. I haven't read that much of that series. I've been trying to collect the older issues over the years.
Snatch up the showcase. Really good.
I need to. I need to get more. I just, the black and white thing gives me problems sometimes, but I've got a good chunk of showcases on my to read mountain. It's not a pile anymore. It's a mountain.
You made a mountain out of a molehill.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did, sir.
And then the last panel, we get to see Superman's bulge. It's really quite impressive.
Oh well, see, I did not focus on that.
That jumped right off the page at me. It was almost a 3D image. It was...
Now I have to go back and look.
In any case, we.
I see what you're saying.
We're going to get a.
Too bad.
We're going to get a Warlord tie-in here coming up, which is kind of cool. I mean, all the characters for them to bring back, Warlord seems like the most out of left field.
Well, they tried it once, but then they put a really bad writer on it, and it never went anywhere.
Well, this goes to prove there's no such thing as bad characters.
No, I agree totally with you. Which is why I don't understand they keep making Dick Grayson a whiny bitch. The only one that didn't do that was Chuck Dixon. When him and...
So wait a minute, are you not reading the current Grayson book?
I'm reading it.
He's not whiny.
I don't know. I don't know what that is about that. It's just something off. Maybe it's because he's running around without a mask on. And I have to admit, they've got him helping Batman, kind of like a Batman / Oracle kind of thing in the current Batman title, so I'm finally caught up on that. I'm like two issues behind on just about everything.
Basically, this was just a big fighty issue, and the two things that came out of it is we got a nice reconciliation, quiet reconciliation moment between Bruce Wayne and Thomas Wayne, because each of them had died in their respective universes. Thomas Wayne had lost Bruce Wayne as a kid, and of course Bruce Wayne had lost Thomas Wayne when he was a kid.
Yep.
So As we find out in issue three, they had a moment to chit chat about that. And
well, wait, the Thomas Wayne from Earth 2, that Bruce Wayne lived to be Batman, and that's why he took Batman's mantle after he died, because he died.
Right, I'm sorry.
You're getting the Flashpoint one mixed up.
You're absolutely right, I did. I got my Thomas Wayne's mixed up.
Yeah, I did too at first, but then I remembered that was Earth 2 Thomas, but still, it's still a good moment.
Yeah. So, and this issue was slightly better than issue 1, and definitely a lot better than issue 0. There is some hope for this series. I don't know if we'll get it by the end of issue 8, but we'll see.
Yes.
And then there were the multiple tie-in issues.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Week 2 ones. Of Aquaman.
Pre-Zero Hour.
Yes, pre-Zero Hour ones. Aquaman by Tony Bedard and Cliff Richards. You got Batman, Shadow of the Bat with Larry Hama. I didn't know that. Philip Tan and Jason Paz on art. Catwoman.
Awesome art.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. Catwoman by Justin Gray and Ron Randall. You got Green Arrow with Christy Marks, Rags Morales, and Claude St. Aubin. Tony Bedard wrote again Green Lantern / Parallax, which should be interesting, with Ron Wagner and Bill Reinhold. And then you got Ron Mars again with Justice League International, art by Mark Manley. Then you have Suicide Squad, written by Frank Thierry, with art by Tom Mandrake. Now, I've heard a lot of good things about that one. I haven't read it yet. Let's see. Superboy with Fabian Nicasia and Carl Maloney and Jose Marzan Jr. on art, that's the Superboy that I can't stand. So wasn't glad to see him. Supergirl, Matrix, the worst version of Supergirl. Keith Giffen writing and Ramon Box doing the art. He's like he's Spanish and German. I don't know. Just guessing. Then you have Superman, the Man of Steel, with Louise Simonson doing the writing, and June Brigman and Roy Richardson doing the art.
And that team on Superman is obviously that's a nice Easter egg for old time for Superman readers in the Death of Superman era.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. She was writing that back then, right?
And June Brigman was doing art. It was, you know.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
It was a mediocre issue. I mean, the ones that stood out for me, and it's the same writers again, but it was Aquaman, which was really good. It was the Peter David era Aquaman. Cliff Richards' art. Honest to God, I think I said this in my little Facebook reviews. Mm-hmm. He should do the monthly book. I would support that wholeheartedly. And then, like you said, Suicide Squad. Frank Thierry really fits very well into the DC universe. He has a great feel for it. I hope he does more. And of course, Tom Mandrake on art. I can't not give a positive review to a Tom Mandrake book.
Oh no, absolutely! I love his stuff.
And the Supergirl Matrix one was fun. It was so cool. A little heavy on the banter, but it is
Giffen after all.
It is Giffen. Lots of banter and the return of Volt, Lord Volt and Lady Quark was well done.
Good. Looking forward to that one.
I so far of all of them that have come out, it's been my favorite. It's sort of like one of the things when you mentioned it when you were talking about how they're making the move from New York to Los Angeles or Burbank. With the with their offices and their kind of filling, it reminded me of Assistant Editors Month that Marvel did many years ago. How those were just totally wonky issues, no consequences, etc. That's how this issue of Supergirl Matrix felt. It's like, you know what, I got to do it. I'm going to do it my way, and you know, enjoy. And he did it. pure Keith Giffen. Anybody goes in expecting anything other than a Keith Giffen issue is going to be very disappointed. And we got Ambush Bug. So.
Oh, Ambush Bug was in there? Oh, that's funny.
He's the surprise guest appearance at the end of the issue.
Oh, spoilers. That's good. Good deal.
But, you know, and again, there were some real clunkers. Fabian Nzezier, however you pronounce it, he needs to not be working at DC anymore. He needs to go two blocks east and one block north to the other company. Mm-hmm. And Louise Simonson, I'm sure I'm sure she needs to make a couple dollars, but come on, she's spent. And Christy Marks, I don't know why they keep letting her write stuff.
I don't know. I think she's what's his name? The one that did Batman for a while. They this is what we want, write it, and he just writes it. You know, I don't know.
I guess they're going to be doing a Gem comic, and she's going to write that, which is great. That's her thing. Gem is her thing, but
yeah, she's the one that created it, right? Yeah,
right.
That's right. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Bless you,
sir. Let's see. Week three. I haven't read any of week two or week three yet. But week three, we have. Oh, pardon me. Adventures of Superman by Marv Wolfman. Art by Roberto Vivacara and Vivacava. Andy Owens.
That was an easy one.
Yeah. Andy Owens. There you go. That's what I need. Batman and the Outsiders with Mark Andreyko and Carlos Donata on art. We have The Flash. These are characters from the time during Crisis on Infinite Earths. So we have Dan Abnett and Federico Dall'Occhio. Green Lantern Corps, written by David Gallagher. And art by Steve Ellison on Andy Parks. I think that's how you spell his, say his name, Andy.
Yeah.
You have Hawkman with Jeff Parker and Tim Truman and Enrique Alcalenta on art. Then you have Justice League America with Fabian Nicasia and art by Chris Cross. One word, by the way. New Teen Titans.
Real quick, let me just... Yeah. Let me amend what I said before, because that issue of Justice League America, even though it's written by Fabian, it says is actually good. So.
Okay, good. That was the Detroit Justice League, wasn't it?
That is the Detroit League, absolutely.
No, I need to read that. Now maybe that's why I've been so down lately. I'm just not reading enough comics. I need to fix that. I've been reading. They had a sale on Daredevil stuff on Comixology. I got that Born Again trade for like $4, and boy, was that good.
Oh, my golly, dude. Like, I read that every couple years.
I've never read that before. I knew it happened, but that was some really good stuff. So I'm reading that Daredevil Visionary series they did with Frank Miller and Klaus Janson, I think is what. Anyway, it's really good, too. Very, very 80s, though.
Yes.
But the Born Again, that didn't feel dated at all, which is what I loved about it. All right, where were we? New Teen Titans with Marv Wolfman doing the writing and Nicholas Scott and Mark Deering doing the art. And that is the high-collar first version of the costume Nightwing version of Teen Titans. So that should be good.
Let me just say, the art is really good on that book, and that's all I was going to say about that book.
Okay, that tells me right there. And one I'm looking forward to, but not at the same time, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, Stuart Moore, Gus Storms, and Mark Farmer on art, and I saw pages of that, and I just don't like it. I'm sorry.
If they can get Stuart Moore to write a Superboy or a Legion of Superheroes book, I would be all for it. If they can get Gus Storms and Mark Farmer to go away, that would be, you know, Mark Farmer. I obviously always associate with Alan Davis, but
yes,
this Gus Storms guy,
I'm dreading. I'm going to do my best to be able to try to read it without really trashing the art too much. But
if it wasn't for that, that would have been probably my second favorite of the
good, book, okay. So. Well, I accidentally pulled it up, and that's probably the next one I'm going to read.
Yeah, I mean, again, enjoy it. Just, you know, if you can somehow just read the word bubbles and kind of, you know, squint as you're looking at the art, yeah. You're going to be great. Yeah. You're going to be awesome.
Just long enough to, like, you know, everybody's kind of blurry, but I, you know, at least know who the characters
exactly.
are. Okay, I can do that. I can do that.
All right.
Let's see, Swamp Thing by Len Wein and art by Kelly Jones. Now that sounds like a very good pairing.
It's still in my to read pile. So
is it okay? Yeah. You got Wonder Woman with Larry Hama and Josh Middleton on art. Let's see, we're just gonna.
Well, missed Hawkman. You missed Hawkman by Jeff Parker with art by Tim Truman and Enrique.
My bad.
Okay, I haven't read that one either. That's the Swamp Thing and Hawkman are the only ones I haven't read so far.
So has Week 4 come out yet?
Nope.
Okay, so we won't talk about those yet. They're in the Wikipedia article. We don't have anything to say about them because they're not out yet.
Not yet. You know what's really killing me about this Convergence thing, Chris?
What?
Is that I'm looking forward to reading Marvel titles. I'm looking forward to reading X-Men titles more than I'm looking forward to reading
DC really? Titles.
Yep.
See, I was reading a few of those, and I don't know, it just kind of, I mean, I even got the first trade of Cyclops just because it was Greg Rucka. I love his work. But I've been reading more, I've got a whole crap load of those Epic collections. I got 4 books from Comixology, and I got a reprint of Hulk Future Imperfect. A Astro City The Dark Age reprint, I think it's the first time in softcover, Justice League 3000 Volume 2. Now, the one I'm really looking forward to, which I'm kind of disappointed, they, you know, Marvel, if you've been under a rock for a year or so, Marvel got the rights to the Star Wars stuff, right? Well, they started putting, this is the first Epic Collection of Star Wars stuff come out, right? So I get it, and I open it up, and guess what I find in there? Dark Horse reprints. So I'm thinking it was stuff, I mean, they have Marvel version omnibuses, and I thought this was like just a smaller version of it, but no, you go on Dark Horse's site, and you can't buy any of those comics at all anymore.
Nope.
And I had bought digital versions of some of them, and I was planning on going to get more later, and they had a 50% off sale. And I'm like, oh, I'll go pick up some Star Wars stuff. Boom, no, none, nothing. I bet you could probably pick up copies off of Amazon that are still in stock in other places, but I had no idea that not only did they get the rights to the Star Wars from here on out, but they got the rights to all the Dark Horse stuff. So in this, The Empire Volume 1, you have, what's collected in here? And there's, you know, art by writer John Ostrander is in here, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. But they call it The Empire Volume 1. So you get Star Wars Republic, number 78 to 80, Star Wars Purge, : Seconds to Die, Star Wars Purge, The Hidden Blade, Star Wars Purge, The Tyrant's Fist, 1 through 2, Darth Vader and a Lost Command, number 1 through 5, and Star Wars Dark Times, number 1 through 5, and they take place through different times in history. So they've got the Old Republic, Rise of the Sith, the Empire, and the New Republic. So thousands of years before Episode 1, the next section is during Episode 1. And in their stories that take place between episodes 3 and 4, and then ones that take place after episode 6. So it's an interesting section of stuff. And I think I have one of the other ones back ordered, but I found that quite I don't know how I felt about that. But yeah, they grabbed all of that from Dark Horse, so
I'm sure that they had to. There was some. nice little hefty check that was paid from Disney to Dark Horse
to, I'm sure,
to make sure that Dark Horse didn't do something with those. I have no idea, but
well, I mean, they can't make all those people that have got Dark Horse stuff. You know, I mean, I've got that Star Wars Legacy comic. I've read that for a while. They can't make those issues disappear or make the ones that are still sitting on shelves disappear.
Right.
But I just thought that was interesting.
The Star Wars universe is published by Marvel is going to be fun to watch over the next few years.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind reading some of the new stuff they're doing, but
The Darth Vader book is good. The Princess Leia book is good. The Star Wars book itself is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check out the Lando one when it comes out here in a couple weeks. See how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Leia one. That's been actually of the three that have come out so far, my favorite.
I've heard it was good.
Yeah, I like the concept. Her going out and trying to find the rest of the Orando refugees.
Oh, that makes sense. Huh.
Yeah, you know, not everybody was on planet when it got blowed up. So.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, spoilers for 1977.
Yes, exactly. Which my oldest nephew is a big Star Wars fan now. He's watched all the stuff. He's looking forward to the new movies. And it was funny because he wanted to watch them in chronological order, not the ones they were made. So he watched all the prequels first. And the first one with the older Anakin, he's like, he's not a very good actor, is he? And I hadn't said a word. I didn't try to taint him in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I watched those prequels with him, and he didn't seem too impressed. Now he watched the other ones. He seemed to like those. I didn't watch them with
which
him.
Which versions of the of 4, 5, and 6?
The Blu-ray releases.
So that would be the would that be the original theatrical or would
no,
that be new,
those haven't been. Really? You can only get those on VHS, which I do have those still.
That's not true. You can get the theatricals on DVD.
Can you?
Yeah, I have them.
Well, I have the DVD versions of them, but I thought I was pretty sure the ones I got were the ones that was altered the first time. And then he did something to them again when he put them on Blu-ray, which I don't remember what.
No. He has there. You can get on DVD, you can get, I think there's three different versions you can get on DVD, but and one of them, though, is the theatrical version.
Okay.
You're good there, but I wasn't certain whether they put those out on Blu-ray or not.
I don't know.
That I would care.
I don't know. I don't think I've got to watch all of them all the way through. There's enough talking in it, and they're long enough that the younger ones can't. You know, attention span isn't long enough to get through the entire thing.
Well, all he has to do is get done by Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. So no, he's done. The oldest one's done with them, and that's. You know,
okay.
And he's gotten into it enough that we've been playing that MMO that EA and BioWare put out, Old Republic. I was in beta and played that for a while, and I got my account going again. And whenever we get a chance, you know, I put him on my laptop and I play on my desktop, and we play. We're Padawan learners right now, and going through and slashing droids and stuff. It's quite fun.
Sounds awesome, Chris.
Yeah, I mean it's really cool. You know, I'm sitting here in my machine, and he's over there at that one, and I think we're up to like level 8 the last time we played, and so yeah, it's a lot of fun. So.
Okay then.
All right, yeah, it's cool.
Well, to my 2 points. One, mm-hmm. There are two things. One, again, it's kind of painful to think that I would rather read. Amazing X-Men with a juggernaut story than to read basically any DC book right now.
Oh, man, that's sad.
That's kind of tough as an old school DC fan. Mm-hmm. And then B, don't forget, speaking of Empire, that Empire, the new series came out from Mark Waid and Barry Kitson.
It did?
Yes.
So it's actually been physically published?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll have to get a copy. I was one of the ones when they offered a membership service for $4 a month, well, $3.99, and that was one of the things you get to on the Thrillbent website, and you get like a weekly thing. So I think I'm all caught up, but I'd love to have that in published form. I'll have to get that.
And yeah, I think
it's an excellent story.
Yeah, the first issue I think came out this last week. So.
Oh, they're doing issues? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, they're reprinting the Thrillbent stuff in physical form. So.
Cool.
I think it was either this week or last week. I apologize if I've got the.
No, I'll have to check that out. But yeah, they've been publishing that on their website for a while, and they do DRM free. When I signed up, I got access to the first volume that they redid after Wade got the rights back, and you could get that whole first volume as part of it in PDF format. And so yeah, I read other stuff on that website too. That Shirley Wormwood one, I can't remember the name of it.
Anyhow, it's called Empire Uprising.
Yes, so. It is. It's good. It's good.
And it did. Yeah, it came out this week. This past week, the week of April 20-something. I don't have a calendar in my head. So
okay. Yeah, if you want to check out some of the stuff like that on the Thrillbent site, there's some really good stuff. He's doing one called Insufferable, which is kind of what he did with Irredeemable. It's a broken down Batman and Robin type character. It's really good. And then there's one by some other person completely. I forget his name, but it's called The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood. They've got some of those issues on Comixology, and it's kind of like a Broken Bad type kind of story, but based on true events, and it's really good. And they've got a lot of other good comics on there. I just never can remember to go to the website and read them all. But
I'm getting paged.
Okay, so. Well, that's fine. We got to wrap her up. My sister used to go to the store anyway. So
go sit.
I could go sit and let the kids beat the crap out of each other while I read comics. So that's it. Let's wrap this up. And as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromlawnbox.com and let us know what you think. And you can comment on the actual episodes, or you can join us in the ever-growing group of people on Facebook.
It is growing.
Very slowly, but it is growing. We've got some people there, and we had a fake one that tried to sell us stuff, but we got rid of them. So we're spam-free right now. And that's about it for this week. And anyway, that's it. We're out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm drained, man. We're out.